Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Carina, diventi tutti i giorni più carina, ma in fondo resti sempre una bambina che non conosce il dolce gioco dell'amore. Graziosa.
Hello, Donna.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Josephine here.
Oh, is that you?
You're on Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, how'd that happen?
So, what's happening this week is we've got an interview with quite a radical, exciting interview, aren't we? We've just had it, actually, with Julia Chambers, who is an erotic author. And she's a teacher and she's intellectual.
Professor, intellectual.
And she's written a book called My Renaissance, but she doesn't really talk about that. What does she talk about?
No, we talked about feminist, you know, can you be, you know, what it is to be a feminist today as opposed to before.
And also, can you be a true feminist and write erotica and read erotica? Because quite a lot of it is, you know, putting yourself down or degrade, you know what I mean? So she talks very eloquently about that. That's really exciting. And
very eloquently with the word.
Yes, C word. Just to let you know, if you've got any children around, there is some explicit words coming up later. So this week's author of the week is...
Andrea Gillies. And the book is The Enlightenment of Nina Findlay. And it's very interesting because her journey as a writer, to me, was very interesting. She, her first book was a memoir called Keeper. And it was about... She moved her family to this massive house on some tiny Scottish island and had a bed and breakfast. But it was mostly she was the caretaker to her mother-in-law who had dementia. And it was mad.
So that was a true story.
Yeah. And then she wrote a book, The White Lie, and this latest book, The Enlightenment of Nina Findlay. It's really... It's wonderful because there's part of all of us who, you know, who have an active fantasy life. And Nina Findlay is introduced to us as a woman who sort of starring role in her own movie, you know, at all times. She's
the
center. Yeah, exactly. And so it's a fun but also earnest and interesting exploration of sort of a love triangle that's going on in Nina's life. Really good read.
Is it set in Scotland again?
No, it's set all the action, you know, you go back into Nina's childhood and that of her husband and her brother-in-law. But it's said she's on a Greek island.
Oh.
You know, she's broken her leg and she's in the hospital and she's reflecting and various things are happening. But yeah,
like
it's really fun. Really good.
Good. So it's a good holiday read.
It's a good holiday read, but it's also, you know, it has more punch than that.
Yeah.
Than just, you know, than just a beach read. So yeah.
Very good. Now I have interviewed Kat Ferrance, who is a very interesting woman. She's invented an online yoga company.
Ah.
And we've just got the information here.
Yes.
And it's called Movement for Modern Life, and it's revolutionising online yoga and well-being. And she's offering a 14-day free trial for anyone, listeners, that want to have a go at it. And what it is, it's yoga in your home. And it's really good because I did the relaxing one before I went to bed and I really slept well.
Really?
Yeah. And I also did a kind of little meditation one with this man, and I used it this morning because I woke up and early and my mind was doing the usual racing, and it brought me down, and it's a way of kind of getting your brain to slow down. No, it's really good. She's going to do 4 episodes. She did one last week, and she's our new sponsor as well, which is really exciting for our health and well-being section.
Yay!
So it's so exciting. She's a partner of Radio Gorgeous.
Yay!
Anyway, now let's go and meet Julia. Radio Gorgeous. Created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com. Okay, now we're going to go straight in. Donna's here, I'm here, and we're going to say, so what do you think about it, being an erotic author and feminist? Is it possible, and are you one?
I think primarily I'm a feminist, and I'm very happy to claim that label. I'm quite an old-fashioned feminist in many respects. I've never married. My understanding of feminism goes back to the late 70s when I was at university, and of course in the 80s. when there was a tremendous foment about pornography, the idea that Robin Morgan stated that pornography is the theory, rape is the practice. And I was always, as someone who, even while I was at college, you know, it was very drawn to lovely young men. I enjoyed sex. I enjoyed all the trappings of femininity. So although intellectually I could embrace many of the imperatives of feminism, you know, there were certain inalienable wrongs and rights, I did feel a little out of place. You know, could I be, as you say, could I be a feminist when I loved men and I loved being feminine? And as I said, I did actually embark on a thesis into pornography, specifically writing about sex generated by women.
How long ago was this?
That was in the early 80s.
Wow. So it was quite an interesting subject then. Wow.
It was then, yeah. It was...
no one else was doing it.
Well, I think what happened in the early 80s, you know, everybody was getting everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. Everything was for sale. And
is
I think...
Is this pre-AIDS then?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's interestingly, when I came to consider the contraception that my heroine uses in my Renaissance, because I think, you know, I think it is important to deal with that, yes. Even when you're writing fantasy.
Yeah.
I didn't use what I think one should suggest now, and even E.L. James suggests in 50 Shades, you know, condoms. Mm-hmm. You have to use condoms. I wrote about a honey cap,
yeah,
which was wonderful.
did you use it yourself?
I did, yeah. Yes, I did.
I tried, but I couldn't get it up.
What is a honey cap? Is that a diaphragm?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I used the sponge. I used diaphragm. Yeah. Sponges always got left there, though. That was always the problem with sponges. You hear somebody screaming down the hallway in my dorm, like, yes. It's stuck!
Oh, yes, I've heard that. Yes. No, the honey cup was, it was very in amongst media types, I think. Was that the case? Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. We all gave it a try.
Yeah, because it was kept in honey. So it was meant to be more organic. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because honey is sterile.
Yeah.
And it forms the perfect barrier. Mm. Nothing can get through.
The thing that was the most feminist about it was that you didn't get pregnant.
Absolutely.
And you weren't caught in that trap.
Yes.
Mm. Which is another bit of misinformation we were given as well at the time.
Absolutely. But that was something else that set me apart, because although I was rather overwhelmed at the sense of responsibility that parenting, you know, would bring, you know, it induced anxiety in me. Would I ever be a good parent? I did very much want children. Mm-hmm. And again, that set me apart, you know, and I actually had friends say, but, you know, you've got a good mind. Why do you want to mire it in milk and nappies? Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find a space for myself, and if not find one, make it.
So do you think the world now in the 21st century, you can be both more easily?
I do think so, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But what I think what's happened is that we've gone through, you know, we went through the backlash, people like Susan Faludi, and quite rightly, you know, I very much admired some of those early polemicists like Andrea Dworkin.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful arguments, but they weren't absolutely... I think sometimes they weren't necessarily honest. I certainly found that out when I started investigating material for my thesis on pornography. And I used Andrea Dworkin as a starting point. And she, you know, there are certain ways of taking material out of context that made it seem far more shocking and misogynistic. So, you know, I was a little wary of that. But now, what worries me is that young women, I'm very glad they are now quite openly saying, I'm a feminist, but I'm not very comfortable, or I'm not very convinced by what they are being presented with as feminism. Yeah. And it's not just, you know, I think it's rather sad that we seem to have got to a point, and it was ever thus, you know, it's what they can sell to us. We've got to a point now where young women are being told it's liberated to show your, can I say, cunt?
Yeah.
You know, get out of cars with no knickers on, Miley Cyrus, mm-hmm. Rhiannon. When I heard SM, sticks and stones may break my bones, but whips and chains excite me, I thought, excuse me, this is a black woman. Mm. Well, she yeah. was black at one point. This is a black woman. You know, at some point along her genealogy, there will have been a slave. Mm. Mm. And to suggest that whips and chains, it's so inappropriate and so offensive. And that's, you know, that really does distress me, that young women might think that feminism is a matter of being able to fuck indiscriminately, not get pregnant, not get STDs, not be judged. Fine. And I still want to claim feminism as a highly political stance to take. It's something I think that all men and all women should want to be all the time. We have female genital mutilation. Mm-hmm. What an idea. Where did that come from? It's almost, you know, it's like pâté de foie gras. I think whoever came up with these ideas. So female genital mutilation, burkas distress me greatly. There are so many wrongs being perpetrated still.
I think for me, because I share a lot of your views, but I think feminism gets confused with female sexual power.
Absolutely. Yes.
And they're two different things.
Yes.
And embracing one's sexuality and doing whatever one wants with it, one thing. And it is, you know, why is pornography so pervasive? Because it's powerful. Because we desire, because, you know, a lot of men are slaves to that desire.
Yes.
But feminism is, you know, aside from that, you know, yes. I mean, it really is a separate yes. thing, you know, and how you behave in the bedroom and how you behave in the kitchen are different. Mm-hmm. You know, they're different spheres for a reason. And I think people, you know, young women in particular, because they're at the height of that sexual power, yes. are thinking that's feminism. Whereas yes. I think feminism is in the opportunities, you know, not at night, the opportunities during the day, yes. you know, and the opportunities, yeah. You know, the self-capping that we do, and that, you know, those opportunities aren't always equal and we aren't always valued. And things like female circumcision are about male fear yes. about female sexual power. Yes. And, you know, and so that it is related, but, you know, it's, you know, we all come from women and men, you know, it takes everybody, you know, why is that? No one's more important than the other. And I think that very basic concept has gotten lost somehow in politics and how we live our lives.
I tend to alienate myself from some women in that I would, for me, there is a very strong connection between, you know, the political and the personal, to the mm-hmm. extent that I do think feminism plays a role in the bedroom. Mm. And I, you know, somebody wrote a wonderful review of my book, but suggested that I, you know, the lady doth protest too much mm. because I am profoundly discomforted by sadomasochism, as you know, is entering the mainstream now, which I think would surprise and very much distress poor old Marquis de Sade, because for him, you know, his sadism was tremendously political. Mm. It was about anarchy. It was about, you know, a fuck you to the state, to the church, saying, you know, women can fuck without getting pregnant. I you know, they can have it wherever they want, with whoever they want. I'm not saying he was, I wouldn't go as far as Angela Carter. He's certainly no feminist, you know, and I know the French are...
Yeah, but he's got a touch of feminist in him, hasn't he?
He has in that, you know...
Liberated.
Justine, the good girl, dies. She is killed by a bolt of lightning that enters her mouth and comes out of her vagina. Juliet, the bad girl, the thief, the seductress, you know, the femme fatale, not only survives but thrives.
Well, that's fantastic, because I think labels are still like that, aren't they?
Yes.
Over 1,000 followers can't be wrong. Follow us on @radio_gorgeous on Twitter, darling, of course. Mwah. Now, let's talk about your book. So you've already said the word cunt, and you use it. That is the word for vagina for you. Why did you choose cunt?
Well, it's not vagina for me. I think vagina is... You know, it's the birth canal.
Yeah.
Vagina is the space, which is kind of interesting. There's no other organ that's sort of like that, you know, except for your inner ear. You know what I mean? It's like,
your nose, your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's...
The stomach. Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't... Kant has been, again, it's been a problem. I've had friends say, oh, do you have to use that word? Mm. And it does seem to be the last taboo, the C word.
When I first met my husband, I said the C word cunt all the time, and he said, I don't like that. He said, I don't like that word. I don't want you to say it anymore. So I now say fanny, with him.
But you see, this is it. Why I chose that word was vagina to me is biological.
Yeah.
And I wanted to a word that suggested... The whole thing, the whole caboodle, that area.
I think it's a good word to use in your book, and it did shock me, but why not be shocked and why not think about it?
Yes, I don't like when things are static.
Yeah.
And like I said, this feminism of the late 70s, that was an extreme reaction to an extreme situation of the 50s, when you were stuck in the house and... Yeah. Marriage meant you couldn't work.
Yeah.
The second you were married, you were kicked out of your job. You were, all of these assumptions were made. So it was an extreme reaction. But it also said, kids were bad. And then, don't have children. That's a trap. Mm-hmm. And then
become separatist. Become a lesbian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and so then tacking back again. But we house dichotomies in us all the time.
Yes.
So I don't understand why this is such a troublesome one. Mm. Again, I think this is noise from the outside to keep us talking about this so we're not just living our lives and, aiming higher, and just ignoring the barriers that exist. It's storming the citadel, as it were. Mm. But yeah. I think also interesting politically, and I wonder what you think about this, is women serving in combat. That's sort of the new horizon in feminist and political discussion.
I think they have to be allowed to do what they want to. Mm. Equality can't be conditional. We have to take it all. And I think it extends across the whole debate. Why is it that we have maternity leave? Mm-hmm. Men should be able to take the time off. They should be able to be... I think parenting should be an interchangeable role.
Which would make salaries then more equitable.
Oh, absolutely.
Because,
we're doing the same job.
Yeah.
We get paid for the same job. I think what I do acknowledge is that perhaps certain jobs are more suited, not necessarily to either sex, but to certain people.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's sexist. Mm.
It's personality.
It's personality.
Yeah. Yeah, or physical as well. Your strength or your, your height or, what I mean?
Absolutely. And, I think...
Or your disability or anything.
And I think, as you say, these are all distractions.
Right. Now, let's get sidetracked from the book.
Let's talk about my Renaissance. Bring it over. Now, I really enjoyed it because I just went to Italy and obviously it's set in Milan, even though I was in the deep south. And it is a kind of coming of age sexual story.
Yes.
And you say that it's fiction, but it isn't. Because it's you, isn't it, in the book?
Well, It is a nom de plume, but sufficiently recognisable to be me. I did work in Milan in the early 80s. What I did, I wanted to express many of the ideas around sexuality that my research generated in within me, questions it raised. And in fact, what I did do, I ditched the thesis, like many, many people who set out on that long road. And a lot of it was due to being completely overwhelmed by the subject matter.
Wow.
I found myself, actually, I was reading so much material in the British Library, and so much of it so breathtakingly nasty, albeit, you know, in that hallowed space, that I found myself becoming, you know, a bit of a man-hater. I had to step away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, at the time, I put it aside because, you know, I do love men. I have brothers, good father, cousins, you know. And
did you give birth to a boy or a girl?
To a boy.
Can't get away from them.
No.
Well, every boy had a mother.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he is the love of my life.
So your book, your heroine, I just want to ask, because she has a lot of sexual experiences. Did you have all these sexual experiences, or some of them made up?
Some of them made up.
Okay.
I mean, that is the nature of fantasy.
Yeah.
And
did you have a lesbian affair?
I didn't.
Oh, shame. It sounds like it was so real to me.
Do you know, so many women have asked me that and been disappointed.
Yeah.
That actually, I was rather hoping you didn't ask me, because I don't want to limit the audience, you know. But again, I was...
She sounded so real.
But she is, because in my head, in my fantasy, I have made love with women.
Yeah.
And that's very much to do with something I do talk about in the book. How I, and I think even more so now, I was raised to consider the female of the species the object of desire.
Mm.
Go back to the ancient Greeks, of course, it was the beautiful, the chorus, the beautiful young man. But, you know, Western civilization, Western art has been very much about promoting the female.
The Virgin Mary.
So why wouldn't you consider a woman beautiful?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'd been raised to see her as lovely.
Yeah.
I was raised on, you know, when I was living in Milan, Vogue, all the glossy magazines. This was the object of desire. And, you know...
So have you had a gay experience?
No.
Oh, dear.
No. Do you know, I know. I can't lie to you, because,
But isn't that the fun of being a woman, that you can fantasise it and you don't have to act it out?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the trouble with men. They have the urge to act out, and that's why everything goes wrong in the world, whereas we can just, in our heads, we can do whatever we like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And...
Mm.
And sometimes it's so much better as a fantasy, because you're in total control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's talking.
Yeah.
Interrupting.
Yeah, exactly.
You just
you can get the required ending as well.
I remember, probably a lot quicker if there was anybody else involved.
I can get back to cleaning the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Good feminist activity.
I remember Woody Allen... The disgraced Woody Allen, but he did have a few very funny one-liners, and one of them was, don't knock masturbation, at least it's sex with someone you love.
Exactly.
Fabulous to have you on Radio Gorgeous today. So it's My Renaissance by Julia Chambers, and it's published by Rosa Mundy Press, and all the details will be on our website. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
And that was Julia Chambers. Wow, what an interview.
Yeah.
Donna, you're good at that subject as well. I'm pleased to have you there. I could have been a bit tongue-tied.
Oh, well, I know my fanny.
Yeah. So that was it, really, because there was so much said then. I'm kind of speechless now.
It is really these. I think the more we wrestle with these subjects and not have, you know, sort of fixed ideas about things, and keep debating and keep thinking and keep changing your mind and keep exploring, you know. I don't know
is
if I'm going to
read as well.
Yeah, why not? Keep exploring.
Exactly. You know? Okay, thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today, and thank you so much for all our guests this week. You've been listening to a Radio Gorgeous production on Radio Gorgeous 2014. If you'd like to know more about us, go to radiogorgeous.com and sign up for Gorgeous Mail. And we hope you love the new website. Let us know what you think. Ma con il broncio sembri ancora più bella, tu sei la stella che manca in cielo. Perché carina, carina, carina sei tu, simpatica e dolce ogni giorno di più, e col tuo candore carina tu sei fatta per amare.
Gioco dell'amore. Graziosa, nessuna donna al mondo è più graziosa, perché la tua boccuccia deliziosa, se vuole un bacio non ha il coraggio di mentire. Carina, spensierata sei carina, col broccio sempre ancora più bella, tu sei la stella che manca in cielo. Perché carina, carina, carina sei tu, simpatica e dolce sempre di più, e col tuo sorriso carina tu sei nata per amare. Carina, tu sei fatta per amare.